Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Here it is. Swing and a drive to right field deep. Back toward the warning track, into the wall, and it is gone. Massa Yoshida has tied the game with a two-run homer in the ninth inning. Can you believe it?
Oh, Massa! How about it?
How about it? That was Hall of Famer, soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Joe Castiglione, and Lou Maloney on the call from Yankee Stadium last night.
A Hall of Fame person.
Hall of Fame. You're all Hall of Fame people in my eyes. And by the way, I can't wait for the induction ceremony, Joe Castiglione, coming up just 2 weeks. I think two weeks from today, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but around there. Anyway, we've been talking about last night's game. We've been talking about the Red Sox. We've been talking about their lot in life. We've been talking about what's what when it comes to the trade deadline. We've also been talking about Alex Cora. There's a lot to talk about. Gordo, I'm Rob Bradford. Gordo will play Tessie, of course. Rob Bradford, of course, of Baseball Isn't Boring. Hats are on the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good. I remember because you have that hat in it. It's like, yeah, it's kind of a one of one. I love that hat.
Do you? Do you love that hat?
Yes.
All right.
It's a great hat.
Okay. All right. Well,
you've been rocking the Swing Juice, just the Swing Juice branded hat lately. Yeah. Last couple times.
Yeah. Well, they're obviously the fine folks at Swing Juice. They supply the Baseball Isn't Boring gear. Derek White, thank you. But I saw Bobby Dahl back. It's in the works to have the podcast with Bobby Dahl back and Derek White together.
Oh,
high school classmates.
I love that.
Yeah, for all friends of the program. And I want you to be a friend of the program. Call on in 617-779-7937 at BB Isn't Boring, the social accounts, to check out all that we've been doing at the Baseball Isn't Boring Empire. But we've been talking a lot about a lot of things, Gordo, including last night's game. But I do want to get back to sort of something that we talked about last week and continues to, and it's not going anywhere, which is the Alex Cora conversation. And we had on Matt Spiegel from Chicago last week, And I thought he was excellent. Wasn't he excellent?
Yeah, he's great.
He was great to offer context when it comes to Craig Counsell. And I hear this week when people are sort of jumping into this Alex Cora conversation about, oh, well, Craig Counsell, the Craig Counsell contract, the Craig Counsell contract, fine. But here's the thing. As we said last week, it doesn't really work that way. The Cubs aren't doing well. Craig Counsell isn't making right now managers money just because he signed this $8 million deal, because people like John Henry are going to be like, well, what? Look, it, there's proof. Why should you allocate money to that much money to a manager? If you pay $8 million to that guy, look what's happening. So it doesn't mean that they aren't going to pay Alex Cora, but let's put that on the table when we have this Alex Cora conversation. So where do we stand now with Alex Cora? I have my thoughts, but you go ahead, Gordo.
Well, the way I want to think about this is, because obviously Craig Counsell and the Cubs have not performed, but that's also a manager jumping into a new team, trying to create a new culture from day one. And like, obviously that's really hard to do. It's not just like inserting a player into an already existing infrastructure and hoping he's going to succeed. Like, this is like overhauling your infrastructure with a new manager, and that can be hard to do. So the way I want to think about it is, if you lose Alex Cora, if Alex Cora goes elsewhere and you have to create a whole new culture with a whole new leader, what does your team look like? What does your team look like this year without Alex Cora? In my opinion, they are not where they are right now without Alex Cora. If you take Alex Cora out of this equation.
You just hit on something that I think that is important. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Which is, we keep talking about the job that Alex Cora is doing this year. I think it's his best job as a manager since he's been managing. We talk about them overachieving. They talk about them being 9 games up. We talk about where they are in terms of putting themselves in a spot that we never thought they would be. And a big part of that is the managing of the coaching staff and everything else. But for Craig Breslow, what is important? What is important is how I think that having a good relationship with the manager is important. Having a good manager is important. But you got to be really, really careful of what you said, which is, Craig Breslow's building this up. Do you want to turn it over? You are getting the right messaging we know now you're getting the right messaging, the messaging that is impactful for this group of players who are the foundation. Sedan Rafaela, Jaron Duran, Willie Abreu, you know, the pitchers, all these guys. This is the messaging that they're getting. Yeah, sure. Andrew Bailey's part of it. Pete Fassie's part of it. But Alex Cora, this is the program. This is the system. And if you do move on from Alex Cora, there is going to be that element of, as much as you're trying to implement things this year, you are going to have to start over a little bit. Yeah. You just are.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball, too. Like, the pitching, you could say that Justin Willard and Andrew Bailey and all this new stuff, like, that can – I don't know. But the offensive side of the ball, there are guys here that Cora
speaks to. But it's two different things. There's the under-the-hood stuff. Justin Willard, Andrew Bailey, Pete Fatsy, you know, all these guys, the driveline guys that they hired. This is the under-the-hood things. But there's also the messaging that we have to talk about that is distributing the messaging across the board to these young players. Because a big part of this, we said it at the beginning, where I think, Gordo, a manager, one of the things that he should be judged on, is he getting the most out of his player? Is he the right guy at the right time?
Right.
And like, John Farrell in 2013 was the right guy at the right time for that team. Alex Cora in 2018 was the right guy at the right time for that team. I do believe for this team, which is not going to have this huge turnover, you're going to have more young guys come up, but you have a younger crew. The Alex Cora is the right guy at the right time for this collection, and what they're doing, including last night, only offers proof for me of that.
And don't think that getting rid of that continuity wouldn't hurt them. Continuity is valuable.
And I guess my long-winded way of saying exactly that.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's not, I feel like it's so different in a sense. Like, I've been thinking about the council thing all week since we had that conversation. And I keep trying to think of the differences here. And I think there's a difference between going out and throwing $8 million a year at a prayer that you can do something that hasn't been done versus paying a guy who has earned it in your organization, has proven that he can do it, has proven that he has one, proven that he can win a World Series, has two, proven that he can get the most out of the group that you currently have. It's a scary world imagining what could be if he's not leading this organization.
Right, and we can't just say, oh, well, roll over Andrew Bailey, roll over Jason Varitek. No.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work that way. And everyone thinks that it does is wrong. There is a major league manager has to distribute the message across the board. It's managing in the game, but that's not why they call it.
Setting the tone.
That's why a manager is called a manager for a reason. In football, it's a coach. In basketball, it's a coach. In hockey, it's a coach. In baseball, it's a manager. Gordo, you know why? Because the most important part of the job is managing people.
Yes.
Outside of 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night.
To draw the comp, they're like, just to bring it to football a little bit, like, how many different coordinators have we seen that are so brilliant at their job in their field, and then when they take that next step up to head coach, fall flat on their face? Like, you cannot assume anything. And you've got a guy right here in Alex Cora who's doing it year after year, who's showing.
Well, so now we spin it toward what happens, right? Because Alex Cora has said on this radio station, I told him I'm not talking contract. They agreed, we're not talking contract. And people, I know that people say, well, you just throw the bag at him and he'll talk contract. Maybe, I don't know, maybe. But I don't think.
$10 million at him a year, he'd talk.
I guess, maybe.
I'd talk.
I mean, yeah. But are they going to do that? I mean, I don't think that's realistic, right?
No.
I just don't think that's realistic. And I also don't think, when people talk about, well, why don't they just lock up Cora right now? Because I do think there is an evolution to this. There is still a ways to go in this. And I said this, I can't be a hypocrite. As much as I say Alex Cora is doing a great job, Alex Cora is the right guy for this job and everything else, the next step of this is going to be trade deadline. Because there is an element of Alex Cora of dealing with the front office. Dave Dombrowski, it was great. Chaim Bloom, it was not great. I have proof of plenty of pictures of him wearing an underdog shirt the 2 weeks after last trade deadline, right? So I'm not saying that's going to happen with Breslow. All signs point that they get along, but you have to go through different parts of this. And when you have a first year of a relationship, you have to go through, you're getting married, congratulations, right?
Yeah.
Your first year of knowing your bride-to-be. You had to go through, you're probably like, okay,
you go through different stages.
I like her. I kind of like her. I really like her. But, you know, we haven't really gone away. Let's go away. Let's see how we get along. Sharing the toothbrush, whatever it is. Alex Cora and Craig Breslow haven't shared the trade deadline toothbrush yet.
Got to share that toothbrush.
Got to share the toothbrush.
You can't give a girl $8 million a year until you share a toothbrush.
Thank you. Put that in the bumper sticker. All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Neil in Maine. Hey, Neil, how are you?
Hey, good, man. Hey, I want to chime in on the Cora situation. Listen, I'm up here in Booth Bay Harbor. I work up here during the summer. I'm generally a cook-type guy in the kitchen. So I'm equating what's happening with Cora to being in the kitchen. You and I could team up against Bobby Flay. Okay, and if Bobby Flay was only able to buy ingredients from, say, the Dollar General store, you and I could go to Star Market, we could go to Shaw's, we could go to the top sirloin places, fish places, whatever. We are going to be able to outcook the great Bobby Flay. And what the Red Sox ownership has done has basically made Cora have to shop at the Dollar Tree for his products, Dollar General. And what he's doing is absolutely remarkable, because they have given him the lower shelf products, the Walmart save a dollar type meat. And what he is doing to have the Red Sox in this position right now, nobody would have expected. Nobody would have bet on it. People talk a big game, but then they won't back it up. Cora is backing it up, and if he wants to be here and is willing to, the Red Sox have to lock him up when the season is over. because he's a fantastic manager. He owned his mistake with the cheating that he did. He said, no, I'm taking the blame. It's on me. He was man enough to stand there and take the abuse. And that, to me, with the young players and everything else, that shows the players how they are supposed to be. He is taught by example, and I think he is the best person for the job going forward, period, in discussion. I love Jason Veritek. He's a good bench coach. You know, and other, you know, Bailey is doing great as a pitching coach. But it all starts and ends, to me, with Cora.
Excellent call, Neil. I love the analogy.
I didn't know where he was going with that, but it made perfect sense.
Alex Cora is basically taking a slab of Spam and making it seem like
he's
prime
rib. He's beating Bobby Flay with it.
He's beating Bobby Flay with it. All right.
Newest episode of Beat Bobby Flay.
I love it.
Alex Cora
I didn't know where he was going, too. I thought he was going to say, like, Bobby Flay was going to win every time. But no, he's right. You need the good ingredients. You need the good players. Let's not lose sight of that. But I think my point is that I think that he has helped, along with the coaching staff, has helped make these players better. And that's what you want. They're not taking a turn for the worse, and that's not easy to do on the fly in Major League Baseball. All right. Speaking of on the fly in Major League Baseball, here's Joe Braverman with a trend.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
But one thing about them, you got to give them credit. They don't stop playing. They enjoy
themselves too. It's a good group that every time you play against somebody, I talked to Skip today. He's like, man, you guys play hard, you know, and then that's a testament who they are, what they're all about. And we're talented too. So, you know, it's been fun.
Let's go. Let's go, Joe.
Big Brave.
Braverman, Joe Braverman behind the glass, spin the ones and the twos. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Baseball's and Boring Show. We'll be on with you till noon. I'm with Gordo, a Play Tessie of the Play Tessie podcast at Play Tessie. We appreciate everybody listening. We had a great first hour, first hour plus. We're going to continue on. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of thoughts stemming off of last night's game, wild game. We had called it at the beginning of the show. We called it the most impactful game. I don't know if you got on board with that. I think you said that game, the Derek White Baseballs and Boring shirt game, I mean, the Blue Jays, that was the most exciting vibes, which is fine. I mean, it was a home game.
It's a tough compare. I think you can't deny that winning a game like that against the Yankees is the game of the year. It's hard because, like, I want to pick the Jays game because it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, but, you know, so at Fenway, yes. At Fenway, yes. But all things considered, I mean, we have to take – this goes back to the let's get greedy comment, right? The let's get greedy comment, when he said it, all right, yeah, sure, you're sending the message, just look forward, not a back. And he actually referenced in that comment, without referencing him, the Yankees. We have some teams in front of us not playing well. And sure enough, the Yankees continued to not playing well. We could talk about that if you want. But
dropped 15 out of 20.
Right. And so now you're sitting here, what are they, three back in the loss column of the Yankees?
Three in the loss column, 4.5 as a whole.
Right. So you have that. You're not that far off. See, so, yes. Absolutely.
And you're playing them for the next two games. Like,
absolutely. So you're, as we said, this is the ultimate let's get greedy moment. And that's why last night was so important, because it is, if you really want to get greedy, we all know what the ultimate sign of greed for this team is. It is to sweep the Yankees, end up with, so you would be one back?
One
in the loss column.
Oh,
you would
God.
Leave down one loss. If you lose last night, you just, you're like, oh, well, you know, it's fine. You lost another Friday, so be it. But no, this was getting greedy. And today is about getting greedy. Today is taking advantage of Gerrit Cole trying to find his way back. Today is taking advantage of that momentum. And this is comes back to Gordo of the dynamic of this team. I do feel like where you have a lot of teams, especially in July, in the heart of the season, oh, yeah, you know what? Long game in Miami. We're all psyched. Emotions, everything else. All right. Long game in New York. Emotions, everything else. You come back. If we lose. You know how it is when you're young. Right?
Oh, love
being young. You love being young.
Love it.
You spring out of bed. When things are going good, let's go.
This morning?
This morning, right. You jumped out of bed. I mean, that's how...
Practically ran to the station.
How you jumped out of bed running to the station today was how they feel going to the park. And believe me, for baseball players, that is not always the case.
Certainly not like in the summer months. Like, it could get the dog days.
Being on a crappy... You know what? If I only knew someone who was on that White Sox team last year, like, who had to go through that. That was the ultimate misery. It was like these guys were counting in other players on other teams the same way. They were counting the minutes to the trade deadline to get out of there. All of them. So, like, you have now, you're like, let's go. And you know who you always use a great example of this probably is a guy who was the oldest guy, the second oldest guy. I think the second oldest guy. The guy who was at the beginning of spring training, like, am I going to get traded? The guy a couple weeks ago, am I going to get traded? A guy who was like, hey, you know, I want to win. What are we doing? And that's Kenley Jansen. Like, you can't tell me that Kenley Jansen right now, more than at any other time this year, is thinking, I want to stay. Like, I want to – he would always say the right things. He would always say, I love this group. I want to help them win, so forth and so on. But he also wants to win a World Series. And the vision that they had, as he said, the vision that they had early in the year was not winning a World Series. So I was like, well, I didn't sign up for this. Now it's different. Now he wants to win a World Series with this group because he actually, like we can see, this group is good. Right?
Yeah, and it must be fun to be their teammate, too. Even if you're, what, 10, 15 years older than some of these guys, it's got to be fun being a part of that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Tommy in Springfield. Hey, Tommy, how are you?
Good, you guys?
Good. Awesome. What's going on?
Good, Tommy.
Hey, I just want to, you know, touch up on the rest of the season that the Red Sox are going to have to battle through. They got, after the All-Star break, you know, they got Minnesota, Kansas City, Cleveland, Yankees twice, Baltimore. I mean, everybody's giving a lot of clout, and I don't want to sound like a pessimistic New Englander, but they're gonna have to battle through a tough second half of the season. I think nobody's looking at the schedule. It's
going to
get rough. You know what I mean?
No, and Tommy, yeah. Like Tommy, I'll let you go, but I totally hear that, and it's worthy of bringing up. I think the difference is it's sort of what the vibe is now is different than even like a month ago when we look at the schedule. Because yeah. we looked at the schedule in June, right? And we saw the Phillies, we saw the Yankees.
We had these conversations.
Lot, but I will say this is that as Alex Cora goes out of his way to say, this group is a talented team. This group plays a certain way. This group is equipped to actually beat good teams, which is something we didn't say a month ago.
One more thing is I think everybody's like, you know, let's get greedy. Let's go sign Guerrero. Let's go sign. They don't need that big clout, big money guy. That will be a cancer to this team, I think. They need some other guy that's going to mesh with them. They don't need no, you know, all-star, half-ass, Guerrero-type hitter. They don't need something like that. They just need a guy that's going to blend in with their, you know what I mean, gel with their team. They don't need those. They need one more little, you know, mediocre pitcher, and that's it, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and Tommy, thanks for the call. I do think that they need a defensive-minded infielder, middle infielder, and I do think they need a pitcher. And I agree. I mean, like, you don't necessarily – you got – I know that everyone cringes every time you say, well, we got this guy coming back. But you do have this guy coming back. You have Tristan Casas coming back. Your best home run – one of your two best home run hitters. So you have him coming back. That is your pop. Why are you building around it with all these other speed guys? So especially for what it's going to cost. I mean, it's – and I'm not a big guy about, hey, you can't give up anything. You can't mortgage the future. I think you could always get something without mortgage in the future.
Well, especially with the situation they're in right now. Because if you look at the Red Sox farm, I mean, we talk about they need an infielder. They've got a ton of infielders down there that are going to get blocked. If you traded one or two of those guys, and like it could be even like a guy who's on the roster right now. Like if you traded Emmanuel Valdez, would you really miss a beat? Like,
no, that's a terrible example, though.
Why?
Because, like, of course you would trade Emmanuel Valdez.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, all it takes to get, like, a rental or a one-and-a-half-year guy.
Was it you who gave the Emmanuel Valdez trade proposal? Oh, it was for Justin Turner. Great.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, you won't miss a beat, and you can add something that you could really, really use. How much is it realistically going to cost to get, like, Luis Urquijo from the Angels, assuming he's healthy by the trade deadline? Like, you're not mortgaging the future to make those additions.
People get it twisted about Marcelo Meyer, Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell. Like, people get it twisted this way. Like, you don't have to give up those guys. And the proof is, look at history. Look at that recent history of the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox stretch drives. Dave Dombrowski did a great job of identifying Jalen Beeks. I don't think it really hurt the Boston Red Sox going forward. They had their problems. Jalen Beeks was not a part of those.
You know, not like Beeks is lighting the world on fire right
now. Can you remember Ian Kinsler? Do you remember who they traded for him?
Oh my God, this is going to kill me. He dropped out of baseball.
He was on the Baseballs and Boring podcast. Ty Buttrey. So you gave up him. You know, before that, you gave up, you know, for Brad Ziegler, for Addison Reed, Steve Pierce. God bless Santiago Espinal for making the All-Star team. He's never making an All-Star team again.
No chance.
You have all these guys. And then you go back to 2021. We mentioned it. You have Aldo Ramirez, who hasn't pitched professionally since 2021. You gave him up for Kyle Schwarber. Austin Davis, who was excellent on the Baseballs and Boring podcast this week, by the way. Austin Davis, you gave up, remember?
Michael Chavis.
Michael Chavis. Didn't hurt you.
That's the thing.
Hansel Robles. You gave up a minor leaguer. Scherf. Alex Scherf hasn't done anything. Like, you don't have to give up a lot to get something. That's the point.
Especially when your goal is not... Like, obviously, if your goal is we need, like, a middle-of-the-order bat, we need Garrett Crochet, we need an ace with control, yeah, you're going to give up stuff for that. But if your goal is to, let's complete the roster that we have right now, let's get a guy who can play defense in the infield, let's get a pitcher that may not necessarily light the world on fire, but he can help alleviate, or he can help eat innings from guys down the line. He can be a fifth starter. Like, you're not going to give up a ton for those guys.
And just an arm. Just bodies. So, Bring in a body.
Let me give you the dynamic of the roadblocks you hit with trades these days. And it's, you look at, so we talk about Zach Eflin. Zach Eflin, I love that. I love the idea of Zach Eflin.
Perfect.
Chris Bassett, I know that you guys brought that up, another one. But I love the idea of Zach Eflin. So the problem is that you can have these trade conversations with these teams, but you have so many teams more than ever viewing these players the same way. And I'll give you an example. Brandon Walter. Remember Brandon Walter? Oh, good for us. We didn't give up Brandon Walter. We thought that we had Brandon Walter. Nobody knew about Brandon Walter. Then all of a sudden, everybody was asking about Brandon Walter, the trade out of line. You know why? Because everyone is viewing the players the same way. They see these guys. David Hamilton, you know, the Dodgers tried to trade for him in this offseason.
Really?
Yeah. And this wasn't this version of David Hamilton. It was the other version of David Hamilton. So these teams... say these things or see these players the same way. So why I say, well, you don't have to give up a whole lot. It's a challenge because as much as you say, well, of course, just give up the guy. Well, the Red Sox are valuing these guys in a much bigger way than just the rankings that we're seeing. Does that make any sense? They're viewing these players all in the same way is what I'm part of. That's the problem.
Is it because of, like, the data, because they all have the same stuff?
It's the data, the way they view it. It's like, oh, my goodness.
It's not a different set of eyes.
It's not the tangible, we're going to get a guy because he's going to be really good. Like, for instance, Justin Turner, right? Justin Turner, I'm all for the Emmanuel Valdez-Justin Turner trade. But they might view it as, oh, well, maybe tracking his bat speed is really down. You know, it's not good.
It's not good.
Okay. Right? I mean, so.
Yeah, no one's using the eye test anymore.
But, well, and also, how much are you talking about the impact of that player? We mentioned Jose Iglesias earlier. Perfect example. Jose Iglesias, a lot of teams wouldn't sign him. Well, the Mets did sign him, and they're getting the dividends because of what he is, not only on the field, how he got better. In AAA, how he made a point to get better at what he needed to get better at in AAA, but also the impact that he had in the clubhouse, the mindset, and what the mindset of what that team needed. All right. Wally in Fall River. Hey, Wally, how are you?
Yeah, what's up, Brett? I mean, you look at Yankee Stadium last night. It was like a funeral parlor after Yoshida and Rafael hit them home runs. I mean, the Yankee bullpen, there's no Mariano Rivera in there. The only players you have to worry about the Yankees, Soto and Judge. The rest of the lineup is mediocre. But as far as the Red Sox, Bradford, you know the key to the season. Everybody's waiting for them to fall, and they haven't. They got off to a good start. They didn't have to dig out of any hole like Houston and the Mets. But they got great chemistry. Like I said, you seen that dugout last night. It was like somebody threw a firecracker in it. They were all jumping up and down. But like you said, you need that right-handed bat between Cassius and Deva. You go to these bottom feeding clubs. Craig Breslin, I'm sure he'll get permission from ownership to make some moves. But you can make deals. Maybe you can get Luis Robert and a pitcher for the White Sox for not much. But there's a lot of names out there.
Wally, you know who's available? Your guy. Who? Tim Anderson.
Who? Who's available?
Tim Anderson.
Oh, well, we don't really need him now.
Oh, come on, Wally.
We don't need him now. All right, he's that right-handed bat. But like I said, when you look at the defense, too, compared to the beginning of the season, it's really tightened up. But these guys are really pulling for each other. As far as the overall picture, they could be the Arizona Diamondbacks this year of last year. But like I said, it all depends on Craig Breslow. You got these other GMs that are going to make moves, so he's going to have to, you know, be creative. You know, he's still wet behind the ears compared to Brian Cashman or some of the other GMs. But like I said, they got to do something. You can't let everybody down again.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Wally. I appreciate it.
I feel like Breslow knows that. Like, he keeps talking about pick a lane, and there's a reason for that as a former player.
Yeah. Well,
part of me thinks Kennedy is in that line too. A little bit.
In what?
In knowing that they have to make a move and that buying is the better option.
Well, I don't think, I mean.
But whose opinion matters?
That's the issue. I had this, you know, debate with Chris Curtis leading into the show last week about, well, you know, when it came to Alex Cora, whose decision it was. And I'm like, it's Craig Breslow's decision. And then, oh, no, it's not. They're going to make the decision. I think it's the same thing. This is Craig Breslow. He's presented the parameters, but Sam Kennedy's not making trades. Sam Kennedy's not like saying, "Oh, you got to go trade this guy." They hire a guy, they give him the parameters to do it. And if they don't like what he does after 4 years, they fire him.
Parameters.
Exactly.
I have a question for you, Rob. Do you think that it's more like they give, because they've been talking about, it's not the budget for it's not the budget for the players on the field. It's the baseball budget. Do you think that they're going to give Breslow a baseball budget and say you can fit the manager into that budget, or do you think this is going to be like a John Henry, pitchers over 30? I'm skittish about that. I don't know about pitchers over 30, and I just don't want to allot $8 million to a manager.
I think it's it's all relative. Do you pay Alex Cora $8 million? The Craig Council, we talked about it, Gordo. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to see it the same way. As much as we say this is for the long haul, Craig Council is building a system. You can't just look at what's happening now. There is some what's happening now with Craig Council. There's no way about it. You got rid of a guy in David Ross who, by all accounts, you know, was a good fit there, did some good things, had a great surge the second half.
They were building.
They were, yeah. And they chose to get Craig Council. And so they paid $8 million. So to answer your question, I do think that ownerships aren't going to be like, oh yeah, hey, listen, this is a going rate for managers, $8 million. Maybe that's how Alex Cora views it, but if he does view it that way, the negotiations with this team or other teams might get a little bit dicey.
It'll be interesting to see, like, if he's not getting those offers, because obviously this past offseason, the guys who didn't get the offers they wanted went into spring training without offers. Obviously, every team is going to have a manager in place by spring training, but it'll be interesting to see just how long teams and Cora are willing to wait this out.
After the year,
like, if no.
Well, I told you, Cora's contract doesn't run out till the end of October.
Right, but will there be a team that wants Cora so badly that they will wait until like December, January to make a managerial hire? Like, that seems bad.
It could, but you're taking your chance on both sides. You're taking a chance for Cora, you're taking a chance for the team. You know, like, with Cora, we talked about this. It's not like he's going to be the only manager out there. This perceived Skip Schumacher, the guy that he had the phone call with,
manager of the year, right?
Yeah, and he's perceived as a good manager with a bad team. David Ross is still out there, and there's always these up and coming, the Sam Folds type.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. All right, before we take a break, quick call, Mike in the car. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good show this morning.
Thanks,
you know, Mike.
I think we've been in this town. I mean, I've never lived anywhere else, but I think in this town, I don't know if this is the way it is everywhere else, but I think we tend to overvalue our prospects, right? You know, Rob, you were touching on it earlier in this segment, like, you know, how many prospects have been labeled by the fans here as untouchable, can't move them, and then when they finally do move, they end up being nothing or they never amount to anything here. So it's a fun team. It's probably the most fun I've had watching a Red Sox team in 10 years. They're young, they're athletic, they seem like they're having a great time playing a game that we all love. So they're fun to watch. I'd love to see them shore up the infield defense a little bit. That still scares me. You know, their infield defense has been questionable at points throughout the year. But I think they don't need to do much You know, infield defense, maybe another starting pitcher. But I think they got a chance to at least make the playoffs and make some noise. But, you know, recent history has shown us that management isn't necessarily willing to make those moves. So I guess we'll see what happens once the deadline comes and goes.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, it is going to be interesting in terms of how they view prospects. And this is another part of it. This is another thing Dave Dombrowski did a good job of, I think, which identifying the right guys. Identifying the right guys to trade. And
you could go back and you could look at his moves individually. Like, look at the guys that he traded, like the Yoán Moncada, Michael Kopech, and he keeps Rafael Devers. Like, that's the Chris Sale trade, and that's the thing.
Going back to Ben Cherington, this is another element, and I'll give credit to Stephen Fall River. I think in the midst of his rant, he mentioned this. You do have to identify the guys that you want to hang on to. Ben Cherington held on to Jackie Bradley, Mookie Betts when people were asking about him early.
Benintendi.
You have Chaim Bloom holding on to, or Dave Dombrowski holding on to Rafael Devers in the Chris Sale trade. You have Chaim Bloom holding on to guys that are playing now. So you got to give credit for that, but you better make sure you're identifying the right guys. All right, 617-779-7937. Brian Abraham, farm director, definitively going to tell us, is Marcelo Meyer going to get called up today? We will ask him that question at 11 o'clock. Until then, it's the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'll be back after this. All right, welcome back to Baseball Isn't Boring. I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo, Play Tessie, Joe Braverman of Play Tessie. Play Tessie, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, the official podcast, baseball podcast of everywhere. Of the world.
The official baseball podcast.
The official baseball podcast, yep. According to those who know, those who have the t-shirts, those who have the hats, those who have the stickers.
Wristbands.
Oh, another one. I mean, another one this week. I mean, the brand just keeps popping, right?
The brand, you like to say the brand has never been hotter. I feel like that's always the case for baseball.
Yeah, in case people missed it. Joely Rodriguez, old friend Joely Rodriguez, in his outing in Worcester on Thursday, 4th of July, he, on his cleats, on the back of his cleats, had two Baseballs and Boring stickers.
That had me rolling on the floor. That was so funny. I love Joel.
He faced five batters, got them all out, two strikeouts. Coincidence? I don't think so.
No, God, no.
If every single Worcester player doesn't have Baseballs and Boring stickers on the back of their cleats now, then they aren't trying.
Eventually, the stickers are going to go on the sleeve and replace like the sponsor.
Yes, that's right. It's the new Mass Mutual. That's going to be
if
the new
someone
Mass
gets
Mutual sleeve.
Here, let me just say this. If someone gets a Baseballs and Boring tattoo, I will buy them tickets and I'll let them meet Gordo. All right.
Is that really a reward?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the grand prize. The grand prize.
No, it's in they could take the wasabi challenge.
Your life will never be the same.
Yeah, so anyway, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. If you want to get a Baseballs and Boring tattoo, I will buy you tickets. Because a lot of people probably do it, so the first one that shows me the tattoo.
You're right. It's an easy
easy one. 617-779-7937. Brian Abraham, farm director, coming up at 11 o'clock. We ask him all the tough questions, all the important questions, and maybe break some news along the way. All right, Ralph in Cranston. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, it's been fun and interesting. You know, no one thought this team was going to be any good at all, but come on, are they a serious contender here? Let's be honest. This team is getting a lot of excitement right now, but I don't think they should buy for fan perception because it seems like that's what people say, oh, they have to buy. You know, right now, you could look at so many moves you could make. First of all, Jansen, they should be scouring the whole major league scene. Who needs a closing? Who needs this guy I don't think is going to be here when they are a real serious World Series contender. You could do something with that. Rob, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm hearing a rumor that Toronto is down on Guerrero. And I'm also hearing that they love Casas. Now, can you imagine if they could pull off something like that? Now, Casas is a good bat, but I do not like the Casas, Yoshida guys that are, you know, Casas is going to be a DH. He's never going to be a good first baseman. He's very slow. Yoshida is nothing but a DH. I don't like those kind of players. If you could ever pull off something like that, let's say you go to the deadline, they really don't want him. They're down him. I mean, you had a middle of the lineup like Duran, You got Devers, you got Guerrero and O'Neal. Now you've got, to me, what is a team that people don't want to play. It's not a team that has to run and beat you that way. It's a team that can put a right-handed slugger, again, in Fenway Park. To me, I'm looking to build it stronger going forward, not buying just the fan perception. Rob, I don't know what you think. I just don't think this team is a contender. Not yet. They've got, you know, some nice pitching, and the future looks better. But I'm still trying to build that foundation better. And if you trade some players that you don't think are going to be here in the long term, well, you're probably making it better. But, Rob, I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think. Are they a contender?
Well,
I don't think they are.
Yeah, Ralph, thanks for the call. There's a lot to pick through there. And, first of all, I understand where Ralph's coming from. It's sort of the same conversation that the majority of people were having for the majority of this season. Well, this is, it's a nice little story, but can they really contend? And I will say, sitting here now, I'm like, yeah, you can. Like, you can. You have the elements in this day and age of baseball to contend and actually, like, do some damage. Like, you can do this. You're just trying to show that. Maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, that wasn't the case. But the elements that you have now, I do believe that. Yes, I think that ultimately, long-term, you need a right-handed power. In the perfect world, Masayoshida, hero of last night, not a great fit for this team. You would like your DH to be a right-handed hitting power hitter. I agree with that. Okay? Tristan Casas for Vlad Guerrero.
Blue Jays would jump for joy.
All right, yes. So, I like it personally. Like all the idea, but
I love Vlad. Vlad's my white
Vlad,
whale.
Fine.
Not trading Casas.
But you also have to understand, like you talk about long haul, I think people say, oh, well, Casas isn't signing an extension. Well, okay, maybe. But you know who else isn't signing an extension right now? Vlad Guerrero. Vlad Guerrero is a free agent after next year. Casas is not a free agent after next year.
A lot can change in the next 5 years with Casas. Not much is going to change
with
Vlad. He's getting hit in the market.
And maybe this is cart before the horse, but from what we saw from Casas early on in the year when he was healthy, compared to Vlad Guerrero Jr.,
He was better.
He was better last year, too.
The whole year.
So, he plays better first base.
Yeah, and so he doesn't hit from the side that you want him to. That's fine. You work around that. You got to figure that out.
You build the roster around him.
But to come back, I think the overall, the biggest takeaway or the biggest thing that we're talking about, is this team a contender? This is why we're talking about fork in the road Tuesday or Saturday was 3 weeks ago.
Well, there's different definitions of contention. I could sense it in his voice when he's talking. He's talking about when are they going to make a serious run at a World Series. That's what he's talking. And like, I understand if your definition of contention is contending for the World Series, like, yeah, the Red Sox are contending for the playoffs. Are they a World Series roster? I don't think you look at this roster and say it screams World Series.
Why not? Why not?
Well, my argument is if you get into the playoffs, you have a chance. You saw the Diamondbacks and the Rangers last year.
But that's when I say this day and age of baseball.
I'm just saying it doesn't scream World Series. You don't see a lot of...
Fine.
Like,
I mean, fine, but the blueprint is already there. The blueprint is already there, Gordo.
You also have to take steps to these things. Like, most teams don't just, like, willy-nilly, like, after multiple years of missing the playoffs, snap your fingers and they're ready.
I don't care about steps. I care about what I see now. I care about what can happen. I care about...
But that's what I'm saying, is, like, you have to make it... Like, it's not just going to all
come
together at once.
No, but where they've landed... The point is, Gordo, is that where they've unexpectedly landed is at a place where I think that you could have that conversation because I saw this is how it has happened in baseball. I saw this is how you can actually... People get it all this twisted because we've seen this great 2018 team. Like, unbelievable. And they're so talented. That's what a World Series team looks like. 2007, even 2013, that's what this team looks like. Well, I also know this. I saw the Diamondbacks last year. I saw the team that won the World Series last year and the Texas Rangers. A very flawed team. But what did they have? They had enough starting pitching. They had some bats in that lineup who were going to carry you.
They had two signature bats.
And they had just enough relief pitching.
Barely.
That's it. Barely. And that's what I'm talking about. All right. 617-779-7937. This squeezing Sorja really quick because we got to take Brian Abraham at the top of the hour. Sorja, how you doing?
Bradford, how's it going, my man? How are you?
I'm awesome. Awesome. What's going on?
I'm in Can you write it up any better, beating the Yankees in extra innings with, you know, heading into the weekend? I mean, this is my thing, Bradford. This is a really good team that just needs a couple of pieces. Unlike John Henry said, we don't expect a championship, right? We just want the Red Sox to be competitive like last night, right? Because I don't know if you remember, but the end of last season, there was kind of a lethargy feel about the Red Sox. And you just go around in the city and everyone is excited about this team. This is the time to add to this team. And let's see if the incumbent man himself and John Henry and Kennedy will allow Breslow to do his job. Otherwise, it's going to be high and boom part two.
Yeah, Sorge, thanks for the call. Get through this week. Get through this weekend. Make it super interesting. Get greedy. One game back in the loss column of the Yankees, and then take care of business against the A's. Have a big series against the Royals. Head into the All-Star break. Let's go. Get greedy. All right. Brian Abraham coming up next. Going to take a quick break. Be back after this. All right, welcome back to Baseballs and Boring. I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo, Play Tessie, Joe Braverman of Play Tessie. Play Tessie, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Baseballs and Boring podcast, the official podcast, baseball podcast of everywhere, of the world.
The official baseball podcast.
The official baseball podcast, yep. According to those who know, those who have the T-shirts, those who have the hats, those who have the stickers.
Wristbands.
Oh, another one. I mean, another one this week. I mean, the brand just keeps popping, right?
The brand, you like to say the brand has never been hotter. I feel like that's always the case for baseball.
Yeah, in case people missed it. Joely Rodriguez, old friend Joely Rodriguez, in his outing in Worcester on Thursday, 4th of July, he... on his cleats, on the back of his cleats, had two Baseballs and Boring stickers.
That had me rolling on the floor. That was so funny. I love Joel.
Had he faced five batters, got them all out, two strikeouts. Coincidence? I don't think so.
No, God, no.
If every single Worcester player doesn't have Baseballs and Boring stickers on the back of their cleats now, then they aren't trying.
Eventually, the stickers are going to go on the sleeve and replace like the sponsor.
Yes, that's right. It's the new Mass Mutual. That's going to be the new Mass Mutual.
If someone gets here, let me just say this. If someone gets a Baseballs and Boring tattoo, I will buy them tickets and I'll let them meet Gordo. All right.
Is that really a reward?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the grand prize. The grand prize.
No, it's in, they could take the wasabi challenge.
Your life will never be the same.
Yeah, so anyway, this is the Baseballs and Boring show. If you want to get a Baseballs and Boring tattoo, I will buy you tickets. I should say, because a lot of people probably do it, so the first one that shows me the tattoo.
You're right. It's an easy
easy one. 617-779-7937, Brian Abraham, Farm Director, coming up at 11 o'clock. We ask him all the tough questions, all the important questions, and maybe break some news along the way. All right, Ralph and Cranston. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, it's been fun and interesting. You know, no one thought this team was going to be any good at all, but... come on, are they a serious contender here? Let's be honest. This team is getting a lot of excitement right now, but I don't think they should buy for fan perception, because it seems like that's what people say, oh, they have to buy. You know, right now, you could look at so many moves you could make. First of all, Jansen, they should be scouring the whole major league scene. Who needs a closer? Who needs this? This guy, I don't think, is going to be here when they are a real serious World Series contender. You could do something with that. Rob, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm hearing a rumor that Toronto is down on Guerrero. And I'm also hearing that they love Casas. Now, can you imagine if they could pull off something like that? Now, Casas is a good bat, but I do not like the Casas, Yoshida guys that are, you know, Casas is going to be a DH. He's never going to be a good first baseman. He's very slow. Yoshida is nothing but a DH. I don't like those kind of players. If you could ever pull off something like that, let's say you go to the deadline, they really don't want him. They're down him. I mean, you had a middle of the lineup like Durant. You got Devers, you got Guerrero and O'Neill. Now you've got, to me, what is a team that people don't want to play. It's not a team that has to run and beat you that way. It's a team that can put a right-handed slugger, again, in Fenway Park. To me, I'm looking to build it stronger going forward, not buying just the fan perception. Rob, I don't know what you think. I just don't think this team is a contender. Not yet. They've got, you know, some nice pitching, and the future looks better. But I'm still trying to build that foundation better. And if you trade some players that you don't think are going to be here in the long term, well, you're probably making it better. But, Rob, I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think. Are they a contender?
Well,
I don't
think they are. Yeah, Ralph, thanks for the call. There's a lot to pick through there. And, first of all, I understand where Ralph's coming from. It's sort of the same conversation that the majority of people were having for the majority of this season. Well, this is, it's a nice little story, but can they really contend? And I will say, sitting here now, I'm like, yeah, you can. Like, you can. You have the elements in this day and age of baseball to contend and actually, like, do some damage. Like, you can do this. You were just trying to show that. Maybe a month, month and a half, 2 months ago, that wasn't the case. But the elements that you have now, I do believe that. Yes, I think that ultimately, long-term, you need a right-handed power. In the perfect world, Masayoshida, hero of last night, not a great fit for this team. You would like your DH to be a right-handed hitting power hitter. I agree with that. Okay? Tristan Casas for Vlad Guerrero.
Blue Jays would jump for joy.
All right. Yes. So, I like him personally. Like all the idea, but
I love Vlad. Vlad's my
Yeah,
white
Vlad,
whale.
Fine.
Not trading Casas.
But you also have to you have to understand, like, you talk about long haul. I think people say, oh, well, Casas isn't signing an extension. Well, okay, maybe. But you know who else isn't signing an extension right now? Vlad Guerrero. Vlad Guerrero is a free agent after next year. Casas is not a free agent after next year.
What can change in the next 5 years with Casas? Not much is going to change with
Vlad.
Yeah,
and maybe this is cart before the horse. But from what we saw from Casas early on in the year when he was healthy, compared to Vlad Guerrero Jr.,
he was better.
He was better.
He was better last year, too, the whole year.
So, he plays better first base.
Yeah, and so he doesn't hit from the side that you want him to. That's fine. You work around that. You got to figure that out.
You build the roster around him.
But to come back, I think the overall, the biggest takeaway or the biggest thing that we're talking about, is this team a contender? This is why we're talking about fork in the road. Tuesday or Saturday was 3 weeks ago.
Well, there's different definitions of contention. I could sense it in his voice when he's talking. He's talking about when are they going to make a serious run at a World Series. That's what he's talking. And, like, I understand if your definition of contention is contending for the World Series, like, yeah, the Red Sox are contending for the playoffs. Are they a World Series roster? I don't think you look at this roster and say it screams World Series.
Why not? Why not?
Well, my argument is if you get into the playoffs, you have a chance. You saw the Diamondbacks and the Rangers last year.
But that's when I say this day and age of baseball.
I'm just saying it doesn't scream World Series. You don't
see
a lot of
fine.
Like,
I mean, fine, but the blueprint is already there. The blueprint is already there, Gordo.
You also have to take steps to these things. Like, most teams don't just, like, willy-nilly, like, after multiple years of missing the playoffs, snap your fingers and they're
ready. I don't care about steps. I care about what I see now. I care about what can happen. I care about...
But that's what I'm saying, is, like, you have to make it... Like, it's not just going to all come together at once.
No, but where they've landed, the point is, Gordo, is that where they've unexpectedly landed is at a place where I think that you could have that conversation, because I saw this is how it has happened in baseball. I saw this is how you can actually – people get it all this twisted because we've seen this great 2018 team. Like, unbelievable. And they're so talented. That's what a World Series team looks like. 2007, even 2013, that's what this team looks like. Well, I also know this. I saw the Diamondbacks last year. I saw the team that won the World Series last year in the Texas Rangers. A very flawed team. But what did they have? They had enough starting pitching. They had some bats in that lineup who were going to carry you.
They had two signature bats.
And they had just enough relief pitching.
Barely.
That's it. Barely. And that's what I'm talking about. All right. 617-779-7937. This squeezing Sorja really quick because we got to take Brian Abraham at the top of the hour. Sorja, how you doing?
Bradford, how's it going, my man? How are you?
I'm awesome. Awesome. What's going on?
Can you write it up any better, beating the Yankees in extra innings with, 10 into the weekend? I mean, this is my thing, Bradford. This is a really good team that just needs a couple of pieces
unlike John Henry said, we don't expect a championship, right? We just want the Red Sox to be competitive like last night, right? Because I don't know if you remember, but the end of last season, there was kind of a lethargy feel about the Red Sox. And you just go around in the city and everyone is excited about this team. This is the time to add to this team. And let's see if the incumbent man himself and John Henry and Kennedy will allow Breslow to do his job. Otherwise, it's going to be High and Bloom part two.
Yeah. Sorja, thanks for the call. Get through this week. Get through this weekend. Make it super interesting. Get greedy. One game back in the loss column of the Yankees. And then take care of business against the A's. Have a big series against the Royals. Head into the All-Star break. Let's go. Get greedy. All right. Brian Abraham coming up next. Going to take a quick break. Be back after this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.